attendance goal to make. I guess I'm going to do some calling. And if you all talk to someone, we'll call. They made us up a chart here. And our average, our current average is 33. So that's January, February. So I think our goal would be 37 the way they've got it on here. We should be able to make that because we go over 40 quite often. And we know people sick. We need to pray for Bob. Of course, Bob discovered that he had leukemia this week, and he's getting treatments at the hospital, and the doctors are giving him a positive look there that they caught it in time to hopefully get rid of it. So folks, we all know, we have the minute, we have today, we have right now, not tomorrow. We can get a phone call tomorrow, and things change for us all, for us personally or our family members. We just need to praise the Lord every day for what we have. And what we really have is a hope of home in heaven. No matter what happens at the end of the day, we know, all of us that are in God's family, that we're going to be in heaven. And that'll be a wonderful day. We all get there, no doubt. But anyway, it's a beautiful day out. It's been beautiful this weekend. And so we got that goal going on, and we want to try to get the Sunday school for Easter and that kind of thing. So lots of announcements. I'm not going to go through all these. Bob always done a great job. You can look at the upcoming events. Thursday, March, Ladies Bible Study, Friday, Oasis, that's standard. Saturday. So you can get a bulletin and see there's nothing really super special going on right now, just all the events that our church keeps up with. And we have our prayer list. So we'll hold Bob up this morning in prayer, and as time moves on, we all will have things to face, and we want people to pray for us as things happen. So let's get started in prayer this morning, and I'll get right into the lesson because I've rabbit trailed off on something else again. And we'll talk about that today. So let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, we thank you for your love, and God, we thank you for your salvation, and thank you for your grace and how that you deal with us and mankind, and you reach out and you've made salvation available for all of us. And it's our decision, it's man's decision whether we take it or not. Lord, we need to present the gospel every chance we get. So many people don't know the truth. So many churches that have church that it's just become a function, a social function. Lord, help Buffalo Ridge to always preach the word, teach the word, and lead people toward Christ. Point out what Christ did on the cross. In the gospel, Lord, help us always to teach and preach that here at this church, and teach application where we can come here and get something and take it home and live by it. Lord, we thank you for your word and how it's always been taught here and preached here for years and years. Lord, help it to continue on in the world that we have today needs it so bad. So bad. Lord, again, we thank you for our class. Thank you for this group of people that are here today. Let's come out to hear your word. Lord, pray for our Sunday school lesson today, that you give us understanding about the marriage supper and what it means and how important it really is and what it's a picture of and of God's love for us. Lord, we love you so, so much. And thank you for that salvation. Pray for our pastor today that you touch his words, that it'll touch hearts. The word will touch hearts with the Holy Spirit empowered, that lives can be changed by salvation and decisions be made to live for you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 2 weeks ago, I started on the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you'll remember, is the chart up there? Yeah. So you can see that looking at this chart, there at the judgment seat right at the very top, and you see after the judgment seat, and that is for the church. That's for saved people after at the rapture before the great tribulation period. Then we go to the judgment seat of Christ. He judges us for the works that we've done at Christians, about the crowns and rewards that we get, and cast them at his feet. We've had that lesson before in the past few months. And then right now I'm talking about that next one over, the marriage supper, the great feast that we're going to have there in heaven before Christ comes back to earth. And his feet set down on the Mount of Olives. And all the stuff that happened during the Great Tribulation will end at that point, and we go into the thousand-year reign. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to follow here in the months to come. We're going to stay by Christ's side and see what he says and what we have to do during those periods of time. So here we are at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the next great event will be the revelation. He'll come down, and we'll be coming with him. And we're going to look at all that, and we're going to look at the thousand-year reign and on into the future. And we're going to travel along with Christ on this trip, because we are going to be there. And because of our trusting in his salvation, he has us right there at his side. So as we got into this lesson, I had gotten down to, I think I was on about page 4 of the lesson. We got down to where we were going to talk about the marriage supper of the Lamb and what it was a picture of. So I wanted to. So the next thing we were going to talk about is where and when shall the marriage supper of the Lamb take place. Of course, we know where it's going to happen in heaven, and it's going to happen after the judgment and rewards of the Christians. It's going to happen after that. We just talked about that. And now we're going to look at who is the bridegroom. And I started looking at that, and I kind of got, there's some verses that there was a parable that Christ taught that I wanted to run to and look at the parallel of this and how in that parable he talks about this wedding, he talks about the current earth, he talks about the future things, which all applies really to this marriage supper, because we're raptured in 7 years, somewhere in that 7 years, right before we come back. That 7-year period is a short period of time in God's purview. And then we come back to earth and we see the sheep and the goats that the Bible talks about, the saved and the unsaved that come out of the tribulation period. But we also talk about the current church age. And Christ was talking about the current church age here and talking about an example of a wedding. So let's look in Matthew chapter 22. If you want to go there, that's fine. And I'll read some verses here in Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 1. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again a parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And so, now keep in mind, this is kind of a picture of what's getting ready to happen with us in heaven, okay? And sent forth his servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they went out went and they would not come. So he sent his servants out and couldn't get people to come to this wedding. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which is bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatling, and killed, and all things are ready, come into the marriage. And they made light of it. And they went their way, and one went to his farm, another went to his merchandise. Busy. That talks about a busy world. We'll talk about that in a minute. And the remnant took his servant and entreated them spitefully and slew them, made fun of them to the point they killed the servants that were out asking people to come to this event. But when the king heard of thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies to destroy those murderers and burn up their cities. Not only in this parable, God's talking about Gentiles. Jesus was talking at this time to the disciples. He's also talking about the Jews and the Jewish nation and how they reject him. Then said he unto his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in and see the guests, he saw a man which had not a wedding garment. So a lot right there in that, and we'll talk about that. And he said unto him, friend, and that's a greeting. That's not really, he wasn't really his friend, it's just a greeting. And we've said that too, we say that today. How camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. I mean, he couldn't believe this man would not accept a wedding garment. We'll talk about the traditions and how that all works. And he said to the king and the servants, bid him, bind him hand and foot, and take him away. Cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. I mean, we've heard some of that before, and you hear some of that over in Revelation, some other places in the Bible. So we see here that this parable that Christ was speaking was pretty powerful if you start breaking it down. Let's break it down a little bit and look at these verses and see exactly what Christ was saying in these verses. So we look here in verse 2. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage of his son. So the kingdom, or this phrase, means God deals with man, his kingdom, in regards to the dispensation of this particular gospel that he's talking about. So he's inside the church age at this point. We're at a point where the church age is beginning, while Christ was still on earth. But this parable also falls over into the church age. So Christ is saying things that the disciples didn't quite understand the whole thing. So this parable talks about a lot about the Jews. And the disciples didn't quite understand this because they were Jews at the time. They didn't understand that the whole Jewish nation as a whole and the government and all that was going on there was going to reject him, was not going to accept him. So from this rejection, we see down in this parable that the calling of the Gentiles happens. And the disciples at this time really didn't know, because years into the future, we see that Paul, preaching the gospel, and finally gets the call to the Gentiles, and the gospel was offered to us as Gentiles. So this is about the Jewish people, but it's also about the Gentile nation. So it's about for all saved. Remember, I said, I think 2 weeks ago, that there's two groups of people. There's saved Jews and there's saved Gentiles, and then there's unsaved people of all kinds. So when we start talking about this wedding, there could be any party at that, any mankind at that, men, women, all nations around the world that where the gospel's preached, you're going to see people saved will be at this wedding. So the circumstances here, how the Jewish people, through their wicked pride and their rejection of Christ's gospel, they liked their priests, they liked their procedures, they liked the law. They couldn't understand why they couldn't just keep doing what the law said. They wanted to do themselves. They didn't want anybody doing for them. They were pride in them, a prideful people. And Christ was freely given them the gospel, and they just couldn't get past all that. So we see the Jewish people rejected. They weren't going to come to the wedding, and they went out. The servants went out and started looking for other people to bring into this wedding. So the marriage of this parable, the marriage of this son, rather the marriage feast or the feast, is an occasion after a wedding. The king here, doubtless in this thing, the king represents God, which is providing salvation to the whole world through his son. So now in verse 3 it says, and sent forth servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Now, sending forth servants, this represents messengers that God has sent to invite people to his kingdom. I wonder, who are those messengers today? Would we fit into that? Is it just the preacher? Is it just the missionaries? I think if we really look at who those messengers are, it probably falls down on our shoulders as representation of the gospel to the world. Who's better fit to do that but the bride saying, I'm getting married, come to my wedding? I mean, that really falls, it can fall down on our shoulders. A lot of times we look at them that are bidden. Is the Holy Spirit working on people? I mean, how many times have you heard stories about somebody knocking on a door and giving them a gospel track, and they said, oh, I've been praying for somebody to come by and talk to me about this. I've heard stories about people knocking on doors, and one guy tells a story about a missionary that I can't remember his name, but was knocking on doors, and guy comes to the door, and he looks inside, and there's a pistol laying on a coffee table. And the man was desperate. And the man gets saved that day. Saved from what he was getting ready to do. What a story that was. I can't remember who told that in a missionary meeting one time up in West Virginia. But so there's people being bidden today with the Holy Spirit touching hearts and minds, and heard something or read a track. And who's the messenger that's going to knock on their door? We have to look at those invitations, being who's going to give it out, who's going to tell them to come. Because the wedding's about ready to happen, folks. We're so close to that marriage supper of the Lamb. It's just right there. We're so close. The world is at that point. So we look at it just gets It gets really down to us who might have an opportunity to invite someone that can get prepared. And how do you get prepared? You get saved. To come to this wedding feast. And do they choose to come? They have to. Like we talked before, God is not going to twist anybody's arm. And then it says they would not come. How many times we've invited people to church? We've told people the gospel, told family members the gospel. And they wouldn't come. They wouldn't listen. Sinners labor under the truth of salvation. Once you present this to someone, do you think it goes away out of their heart and mind? The Holy Spirit is a powerful thing. He's there haunting them. I believe today we see a lot of angry people. We see a lot of people that on the roads that drive ugly. We meet people that talk ugly and act ugly. I think a lot of folks are under conviction, knowing they're living a life that's wicked, knowing that somebody has witnessed to them, somebody has asked him to church at one time, and they rejected it, made fun of them, didn't want to hear it. Don't tell me about that. I'll do it my way. And it's all represented in these verses right here. And verse 4 says, and again, he sent forth servants. Again. How many times does God say forgive? 70 times, 70, on and on. How many times should we ask? And again, he sent forth his servants, saying, tell them which are bidden. Tell them which have heard already. Behold, I have prepared at my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. Come and get saved. Who's these other servants? Who might they be? So the first servants went out, and did they get it done or not? Did they plant the seed? Of course they did. How many of us has ever been talking to somebody and saying, well, you know, I read that in a tract. Yeah, I think I want to talk about that. You may be that other servant at that time. Think about that. How you know when you don't walk up to somebody and somebody in a grocery store may pull a track out of their pocketbook and say, well, you know, somebody give me that the other day and I read it. I really don't understand it. Can you explain it to me? How would you like that situation? Folks, there's stuff out there. There's people out there. There's people that need to be saved, that need to come to this marriage supper of the Lamb. Who might press on here? These other servants. So God repeats this message to the sinners again. How many people have sat in this church house and heard it over and over and over and still refuse? How can they not be bitter? How can they not be sad? How can they not live with a chip on their shoulder? The world is getting waxing worse and worse, and we know the Bible tells us that. So, where do we go with all this information? We need to use every opportunity we can use. And then it says in verse 5, but they made light of it. How many times you had a door slammed in your face? How many times you've been called a Bible thumper? And on and on and on. The world makes light of it and went their way. They make fun of it and went their way. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. Are we not busy? Look at the schedules that we keep. I've got a phone and my calendar is plumb full of schedules for myself and my families and my grandbabies. Are we not busy? Work and schedules and this and that and school and ball and on and on and on. These people here had an excuse, just like today. No difference. Some of them would say, I've got to get back to the farm. I've got to bail. I've got to dig taters. Got to do something. Got to feed the critters. And the other one said, I got to get back to the merchandise, which means business. And it's, I got to get back downtown. My business is going. I've got to get there. I can't make it Sunday. I can't make it Easter. I can't make it. I just can't get there. I just don't have time. The world has gotten busy. Really, really busy. I tell you, I like computers and I like technology, but I'm telling you, I'm just not sure it's not gotten away. I mean, I can remember when I first started in business, I had a secretary and an IBM electric typewriter. And that was it. And a fax, maybe. We got a fax, we thought, oh my. Then we got radios, and then we got pagers, then we got cell phones, then we got laptops, and we got mainframes, and on and on, and look where we're at today. And I go sit down in the morning, and I've got 20 or 30 new emails from this business and that thing and this thing and that person and this person and that person. You get on your phone, didn't you read my text? Didn't you read my text? Kids sending stuff. We're busy. Can we let that busyness of the world? I mean, I know people are busy, but we need to be so kind and talk to them and say, hey, don't let the busyness of life send you to hell, because that's what it's going to do. I mean, sometimes we just need to be plain spoken to folks. And not beat around the bush, as Grandma used to say. What's beating around the bush mean anyway? I mean, I know what it means, but I've never seen anybody beat around the bush. I mean, we just blink our eyes and go on. Well, they're busy. Oh, they're so busy. Oh, look at their life. They're just busy. We all sitting here right now, we know you blink your eyes in busyness and you wake up the next minute and it's too late. We can't let that happen. It happened right here. No different. Happened right here at the beginning of the church age. One went to his farm, one went to the business. Got stuff to do. Don't have time to go to church. Don't have time to listen to your gospel to be preached. Don't have time. Don't want to hear it. And the remnant took his servants, these people that just said, I'm too busy, don't want to hear it, get away from me, got ugly. The world can get ugly. It's ugly right now. We know it. I never thought that it would be a time in this great country that there's places in this country that I would not walk or go. It's not safe. Or drive through. It's there. There's places in this country, it's third world or worse. And is there people there that need to be saved? Absolutely. And is there special guys that go into places like that? Absolutely. Don't you ever down somebody that's got tats all over their body and they've been saved and they ride a motorcycle and they can get into that crowd. Bless their hearts, as Grandma used to say. They've got the gospel as well as I've got the gospel. And the people in their social realm need to hear the gospel. And the remnant took the servants that were given the word and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Killed these people that are out giving the word out about this wedding feast. I mean, part of them made light, part of them made fun, but part of them simply with contempt and violence in their life killed these, martyred these people. Have we not seen modern people in our history, in missionaries' history? It's coming home to us. And they just coolly went about their business, like, oh, this is nothing. Aren't we seeing that today? That people that kill and hurt and are bad people are being let back out onto the streets in part of this country. I mean, some sinners just seem simply satisfied just to reject religion in a whole. Reject Jesus Christ. They did then. Why wouldn't they do it now? They got openly violent, openly bitter. I hope it never comes to these doors out here. I pray that it never comes to these doors. But look at us. Have you looked at our security? Have you talked to any of them men? What they do every minute that we're in this building? You need to thank them for what they're doing. Because the world's out there. We got to be careful. In today's world, we got to be smart about this. And some sinners, we've heard stories on the news, often abuse churches and ministers because they hate God. People get so dark because they've rejected the Holy Spirit. And the Bible talks about there's a point that God says, so be it. You're done. I'm done with you. And they become dark. And soon they're off the scene. And they wake up in hell. But then the king heard thereof and was wroth, and sent forth his armies to destroy those murderers and burn up their cities. This is primarily pointing toward the Jewish nation at that time, because we know what happens. The Jews, doubtless, they refused Christ. The Roman Empire was in charge at that time, which were the armies that it's talking about. And some 70 years later, the Temple Mount was completely took down, completely destroyed. Not a stone set upon a stone. God predicted that. And I told you why. Because they used gold things to hold the stones together. Poured gold in there because you could look at it from afar off and it would sparkle. They tore every stone down to get that gold in 70 AD. So that happened at that time. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready. More servants. The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. So he's talking about that crowd that rejected, walked away, went back to work, got mad. Go ye therefore into the highways As many as you can find, bid to the marriage. Now we're back talking about Gentiles. This highways word literally means paths and roads outside the area of commerce in that particular time. Of course, we had the square and we had principal streets, but if you'll remember, the Jews did a lot of their business in the gates of the cities. This highway was outside of that. So we passed the Jews, left them at the gate, left them at their businesses, left them at their farms, and now we're out into the highways looking for people, looking for Gentiles. The Gentiles were regarded at that time as poor, as they lived outside. They lived on the highways and in the hedges. They were cast out and poor and despised. They just despised the Gentile nation. They felt like that they did not deserve religion of any kind. Their work religion, Christ, the preaching, anything. They didn't want the Gentiles to know about it. So in verse 10 it says, So those servants went out into the highways, gathered together all as many were found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. So now we've got some saved people in the end of this wedding. Here they are. They're inside, basically, you can say, well, they're in. They're in the church. They're saved. And then we see that worst word there, the bad and the good. Description of people. Not necessarily good by nature, but what was he talking about? They needed the gospel. That's what they needed. They needed to be saved. They needed to come into the church. They needed to be fellowshipped. They needed to be at this wedding feast. In God's eyes, they were bad. But when they get saved, what's shed it on us? The righteousness of Christ, the pureness of Christ. When God looks at us, what does he see? He didn't see the dirty sin that we live in. Because of what Christ did, he sees Christ's perfectness, his salvation. So we talk about wedding garments. He sees us as pure, white, saved bride of Christ. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man which had not a wedding garment. Now, there was a man come in. Now, we have to think about these wedding garments. Let's talk about the wedding garments a little bit. These wedding garments, when back in those days, when the tradition was that if you invited these folks, that they would pick up a wedding garment at the door. Because most people, they were working people, farmers and whatnot. These people were out in the highways. So when they came in, the servants would offer them a white robe. That was tradition. They would get a white robe. Does that ring a bell? White robes? So they would all come into the wedding, and when the benefactor would come into the room, the Lord or the King or God, at this, when they show up, and all the people are dressed in white. But there's some character sitting in the back that he said, my garments are good enough for these people. Well, what kind of attitude is that? His best that he could do was filthy rags that he had on. Filthy rags. Now, we've heard that too, haven't we? God looks at our works, the best that we can do, people trying to do the right thing. Are we talking about a hypocrite here that sits in this church house? I hope not. The best that he could do, he said, I'm not accepting that. I'm not accepting that white robe. Oh, I'm coming in, but I'm going to do it my way. My way. Pride again. Boy, pride will get you in trouble. Whew. Pride again. This guy comes in and he says here in verse 12, and he said to him, friend, how camest thou hither and not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. So what are you doing? I can't. I mean, it's all been offered to you. And you didn't accept it? And you're in here playing like you want to be part of this? It's a hypocrite. It's a picture of a hypocrite. It's a picture of people pretending and playing church. They're doing it their way. Well, if I get off from working time, I'll be there. Oh, I've got to work. Or maybe, oh, I can't. I'll grace you with my presence. I'm just going to come as I am. It has nothing to do with how you look. It's your attitude. I'm good enough. I'll make it. I'm good. I'm not killing anybody. I'm not doing anything bad. I'm not a bad person. Have you heard that stuff before? I don't need this righteousness gown. I'm good enough. And God comes in and looks at that. And he said, I am speechless. You've been told. You've been offered. I've offered everything for you. I've given my son on the cross for you. And you're sitting in the back of this wedding feast and think that you're good enough? What a hypocrite. And he was so upset with the man, he said, the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away. Cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The guy got throughout. He was not, his own works was not good enough. How many people we think that you say something to them, well, I'm not a bad person. I'm just fine. Folks, what a picture of a wedding scene of the folks that are going to be at this wedding in heaven. We are going to be there, those of us that are saved. But how many people, when the rapture happens and we're all going up, and they say, wait on me, I went to church. The hypocrites are going to be left. The people who think they're good enough on their own are going to be left. Because it is all about what Christ did, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, and the white robes that we get from that salvation. All about salvation. It's all about what God has given and imputed on us because of what His Son did. It has nothing to do with who we are, how bad or how good or anything. It's what Christ did that's going to get us to that marriage supper of the Lamb and get through that time period on this chart. Now, I've got more to talk about on the marriage supper of the Lamb, probably next week. That's just getting us there. It got us to the table. So I'm going to have to quit. I could go on for another hour or two. It's 10:45. Let's quit. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you for listening. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for that marriage supper of the Lamb that's going to happen. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for those white robes, the raiment that God looks down and sees the purity of us because of Christ. Thank you so for that. Lord, help us today to see someone that we can say something to about Christ and what he did on the cross. Lord, we just thank you. Give us a good day here in church. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.